Scripture reading before Roy's lesson comes from Ecclesiastes 5, and we'll be reading verses 15 through 19. That's Ecclesiastes 5, 15 through 19. Everyone comes naked from their mother's womb, and as everyone comes, so they depart. They take nothing from their toil that they can carry in their hands. This too is a grievous evil. As everyone comes, so they depart. And what do they gain, since they toil for the wind? All their days they eat in darkness with great frustration, affliction, and anger. This is what I have observed to be good. That it is appropriate for a person to eat, to drink, and to find satisfaction in their toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life God has given them. For this is their lot. Moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and be happy in their toil. This is the gift of God.
It is so good to be here this morning and look out upon all these handsome people with these smiling faces, and the sun is shining outside and it's shining inside as well. Good to have everyone here. This morning, as we begin our Thanksgiving week, actually, I should say, as we begin our Black Friday week, because that typically is what people get most excited about, Black Friday, but as we've talked about before, it's kind of already begun. But as we prepare to think about and celebrate Thanksgiving, I thought it would be very appropriate for us to think about the importance in our lives of contentment, being content. And who better to instruct us on contentment than Solomon? I mean, here's a man that had everything. The wisest man that ever walked this earth up to that point. He had wealth, riches beyond belief, and yet he knew that there were better things than material wealth that would make one content with what they had. So Solomon is writing Ecclesiastes as an old man, and he's looking back upon his life, and he's looking at his mistakes, and he's trying to show us, he's trying to tell us that he doesn't want us to make the same mistakes that he made. As a matter of fact, when you look at the book of Ecclesiastes, you see that his point in the book is not that life is meaningless. And that's what a lot of people think when they read this book, because that phrase is used so many different times. But it's not that life is meaningless. What he wants us to understand is life is short. Life's not very long. And we know that, don't we? We can see that in our lives as well. Let's read again verses 18 through 20 of Ecclesiastes chapter 5. This is what I have observed to be good, that it is appropriate for a person to eat, to drink, and to find satisfaction in their toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life that God has given them, for this is their lot. Moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and be happy in their toil, this is a gift of God. They seldom reflect on the days of their life because God keeps them occupied with gladness in heart. You know, when we look at this passage, we see very clearly that God wants us to be happy, that he has given us permission as his people to be happy, to be content. And what that means is it's okay on Thursday to go back for seconds, because God wants you to be content. He wants you to enjoy life. He wants you to be happy. But Solomon knows something else. He knows that many people are living a life of discontentment. In every congregation that's meeting today, in every home, in every bar, in every stadium, in every hospital, in every health club, there's someone who thinks, if only I were like him, or like her, then I'd be happy. If only I had different parents. If only I had different kids. If only I had a different job. Then I'd truly be content. The very fact that so many people believe that just goes to show you that we need to really stop and analyze what true contentment is. So let's think for just a minute about the essence of contentment. What is contentment? You see, people think that contentment is something that's entirely passive. In other words, you don't have to do anything really to be content. It's like, again, that Thanksgiving meal where afterwards you've eaten and then you've thought about, well, you know, maybe I should go back and get a little more dressing and maybe I'll have a second piece of pie. And I'm kind of describing Mike Cottom's Thanksgiving 3. And so after that, you're stuffed. You can't eat anymore and you're sitting in your chair and you're thinking to yourself, boy, that was good. I couldn't eat another bite. I'm really full. I am so content. But that's the false idea of contentment, because that's passive. What God wants us to understand through the inspired Pen of Solomon is that contentment is something that's active. We have to seek it. In other words, contentment is the joyful art of making the most of what you have. Let me repeat that. Contentment, biblical contentment, is the joyful art of making the most of what you have. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 11 through 13. And again, this is Paul writing to the church at Philippi. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I know I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstance. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Paul is not saying, I can sit back and do nothing through Christ who gives me strength. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's active. It's something that we have to do. It's not passive. And I want us to think about a couple of distinctions to help us understand this. Number one, in order to do that, we have to distinguish between desires and needs. You see, it's not wrong for a person to want a better job, to want a nicer place to live. That's okay. That's fine. But if I am depending on that better job or that nicer place to live to find contentment in my life, then I got it all wrong. Discontent is not, I wish I had. But being discontent is, but if only I had. I would be happy if only I had a better job. I would be happy if only I had a better place to live. You see, that's being discontent. It's not being satisfied with what you have. We can wish, we can dream, that's fine. But we can't depend on those wishes and those dreams to make us contented with our life today. And it's important for us to understand that. All we have is the now. When Solomon says in verse 19 that we need to accept our lot, he's reminding us that we have to distinguish between the present and the future. He's not saying, okay, well, I guess I'll have this and I guess I'll have to live with it. No, it's not what he's saying. What he's saying is you have to make the most of what you have today. Do you remember the TV program MacGyver? How many remember MacGyver? All right. MacGyver's the guy that was always in trouble. And he always got himself in a situation where you thought to yourself, there is no way he's ever going to get out of this. He just doesn't have those things available to him that's going to help him get through this. But we're wrong. Because somehow MacGyver will take a toothbrush and a toothpaste and he'll make a bomb out of it and he'll get out of it. And You see, he's making the most of what he's got. He didn't sit back and say, okay, I'm trapped, there's nothing I can do about it. But he does something about it. He uses those things available to him to make the most of the day that God has given him. That's contentment. We're saying, all right, Lord, here's where you've placed me. Here's what I've got on my plate. Here are the things that I'm faced with. I need your help. And in that strength that Christ gives us, we can MacGyver the day. We can make the most of the day. Because if he is for us, who can be against us? We can do all things. We can do. We can do. Not wait back and wait. Not sit back and wait and do all. We can do all things through Christ, who gives us the strength to do that. Contentment is the joyful art of making the most of what you have. I mentioned this before. Son Drew is 6'5". He played basketball in high school and then a year in college. And Drew always said, you know, Dad, if I were just an inch taller, if I were just 2 inches taller, I'd be so much better at basketball. And I said, Drew, look at me, your father. Be thankful with what you got. But we always do that. We always want more. We always want something different. And God is saying, don't be thankful with what you have. That being said, what is the importance of contentment? Well, life is so short that it's fleeting. James chapter 4 reminds us. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city. Spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while, and then it vanishes. You know, one thing about it is we grow older, and we grow nearer to the end of our time here on earth. We really appreciate how quickly life goes. Seeing Kyle and Sarah and the family here, I remember when it was David and Kim and the family right there. And their kids were about the same size. And it seems like only yesterday. It seems like only yesterday I was riding my bike down with the guys at the park and doing all those things the kids do. I was a teenager. Only yesterday. What in the world happens? The older we get, the quicker the time goes. Have you noticed that? I warned you January 1st that the year was going to go quickly. And before we know it, it's going to be 2019. And we're never another year older. Life is short. Life is fleeting. That's why today should be so important to us. That's why we should make the most of every single day that we have. Make the most of the few days that God has given us. Why is contentment so important? Because our life is so fleeting. And because this is my lot. And that's what Solomon is saying. This is my lot. And what he means is, this is your life. This is your life. You have no other life than this. This is you. Right now is your life. And the question is, what are you going to do with it? But godliness, in 1 Timothy, Paul is writing, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Twice in these verses, Solomon mentions our lot in life. He is not saying, what he's saying is, this is your life. Don't waste your life wishing you were somebody else. Don't waste your life wishing that you could play the guitar like Milt can. I can't play the guitar like Milt can. We need to appreciate what we have and what God has blessed us with. The talents and the abilities that we have is what God wants us to be content with and use them to His glory. He's asking us to make the most of the person that He's created us to be. Think about that. He is asking us. He's asking, you see him, Ryan, I want you to make the most of the person that I have created you to be. And that's what he's asking each one of us. He's not asking Ryan to be like Matthew or Matthew to be like Ryan. He's asking Ryan to be like Ryan and use what I have created in you to the very best of your ability to glorify me. And that's what he's asking of each and every one of us. So we know that contentment is the joyful art of making the most of what we have. And contentment matters to us because our life is fleeting. And this life is my lot. This is it. This is me. So the question then becomes, well then how do we experience contentment? How do we get contentment? Well, the first thing we have to understand is that we have to be connected to the source of life and everything that's good. We go back to the whole concept of our lot in life. And I want you to think of your lot in life as a particular lot of land that God has created and given you. This lot of land is yours. It doesn't belong to anybody else. It's only yours. This is you. This is your lot. This is what it's going to be. But what do we do with our lot? We look over the fence. We want to see what the other lot's like. We want to see what the other guy's got. Oh, if I just had his lot in life, everything would be great. How did that work? How did that work with Adam and Eve? You know, I saw a t-shirt once that said, "All I want is a little bit more than I'll ever have." Think about that. All I want is just a little bit more than I'll ever have. How did that work with Adam and Eve? Think about Adam and Eve. They're in the garden of where? Eden. And Eden means delights. They're in a garden with thousands of yes trees, right? Thousands of yes trees and only one no tree. Only one no tree. And when they thought that God wasn't doing enough for them, when they thought that their lot wasn't enough, what do? They went after that one no tree. And how did that work out for them? How did that go? How did that change their life? It changed a life in paradise to a life of fear and anguish and bitterness and emptiness. And because of their sin, every single one of us is born thinking that good things, good material things, and good experiences are all it's going to take to make us content. And that's not true. That's not true at all. Remember the feeding of the 5,000? One of Jesus' most famous miracles. He was demonstrating to us that He is the source of life and everything good. That's why He said in John 6:35, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." We need to make sure, if we're going to truly be content in this life that God has given us, this lot that we have, that we're connected to the source of life and everything good. And that's Jesus Christ. And He gives us the strength to do that. So we have to rely on His strength. Remember, Paul said he discovered the secret? So it was obvious. The secret was something that had to be discovered. It wasn't obvious, but it was available. And that secret was Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And the Christ that strengthened Paul is the same Jesus Christ that strengthens us. because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so what will happen when we are content with what God has given us and we make each day and live each day to its fullest, then God's continue to bless us and bless us and bless us. And we're going to squeeze all of the blessings out of this life. And when we're doing that, we're not going to be worried about things that aren't going well or what somebody else has. We're going to be so excited with the blessings that we have that our life is going to go by so quickly. And we're going to turn around and look, and we're 7 years old and wonder where in the world it went. God wants us to be happy. God wants us to be content. And to do that, we have to rely on the strength of the Lord. There was a Christian counselor who once sat down with a client who was very anxious and was never happy. This guy complained about everything. He didn't have one positive thing to say. And so the counselor took out a white piece of paper and he drew about the quarter size black dot in the middle of the paper. And he said to his client, he said, "All right, I want you to tell me what you see." "And what do you think the guy said?" "I see the black dot." And the counselor said, "You know, I think that's your problem. Here is this sheet of paper with white all over it. It's got white everywhere. But all you're focused on is the black. And that's the way your life is. You have a lot of good things going on in your life, but all you focus on is that bad thing. And so what you need to do, what you need to do is really in your life concentrate on the white. Concentrate on the blessings. Concentrate on your relationship with God and all that He's done for you. And when you do that, when you do that, the problems just seem to fade away. Amen. They're not the focal point of your life. Because you're connected to Jesus Christ. And you're looking at things from His eyes, from His viewpoint, from His standpoint. And you're seeing the positive. There's so many positive things in life. And that's what Solomon is saying. There are so many people that go through this short life that look at the negative. We can't do that. God wants us to see each day as the blessing that it is and maximize and enjoy them all. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let's MacGyver our day to the glory of God. Remember this. Each day is a gift from God. And how we use that day is our gift to Him. If you're here this morning, we can help you with your life. Because it's out of sorts. And maybe like so many of us, we can let that black dot overcome all the whiteness and beauty we have in our life. We want to help with that. We want to pray with you, pray for you. Help in any way that we can. Or if you've not yet become a child of God, we know how important that is, how critical that is to the life hereafter. If this life is fleeting, remember this, there's a life that isn't. And it's the one we're looking forward to that's after this one. We are living life eternal now as God's people. And we want you to do that. So if we can help you in any way, we ask that you come forward as together we stand and sing.